Hi, I'm Dr. Arthur Smith of the Seligman Medical Institute, or SMI, the foundation sponsoring this MindBody podcast series. SMI is devoted to research in mind-body medicine, and specifically, evaluating the tension myositis syndrome, or TMS. This diagnosis for back pain and other disorders was first described by Dr. John Sarno, who has authored several books on this subject. TMS is a diagnosis that connects the mind and body in chronic pain. Please note that TMS can only be definitively diagnosed by a qualified physician. This podcast is not intended to serve as a substitute for proper medical advice or treatment. Today, we will be discussing psychological issues and factors in chronic pain with two practitioners who have been treating TMS in the Los Angeles area for over 10 years, Dr. David Schechter, a physician, and Donald Dubin, MFT, a psychotherapist. Dr. Schechter.
Thank you very much. You know, my relationship with Don Dubin started about 10 years ago, and I had received a referral of a patient who had heard more about TMS from Don, who she was seeing as a psychotherapist. This led to us meeting and describing to one another a mutual interest in psychological aspects of pain. These last 10 years have been very fruitful. We have treated hundreds of patients together. And when I say together, the patients typically come to me first for a medical diagnosis, and this is very important. I review their history, I examine them, I review MRI exams and other x-rays and studies that they've had, and based on the thoroughness of this evaluation, I determine if their chronic pain is likely to be due to emotional and psychological factors rather than to a structural pain problem. If I diagnose tension myositis syndrome, the patient is typically given a home program with which to follow up. And the home program consists of learning more about the diagnosis by reading books, listening to CDs, DVDs, and keeping a journal of emotions so they become more in contact with the psychological aspects of their life. Many of the patients I see, perhaps as much as 30 or 40%, benefit from also seeing a psychotherapist who's familiar with this diagnosis. And that's how Don and I have worked together over the years. I'm going to give the microphone to Don now to describe some of the treatment that we provide and some of his unique psychological perspectives on this condition.
Hi, my name is Don Dubin, and I've been working with Dr. Schechter for the past 10 years, and it's been one of the most enjoyable parts of my life and my practice. I am a TMS person. I've suffered from chronic pain over the years and have learned to deal with it as far as myself is concerned. And my objective is to help people get rid of the chronic pain and understand how it's manifested in a psychological manner. And Dr. Schechter and I work on this, and we feel very, very gratified because this type of psychotherapy is very goal-oriented. Its goal is to get rid of the pain. And in order to get rid of the pain, you have to understand the pain, its manifestations, and the deeper psychological precepts of it. And let's start talking about it.
You know, sometimes this sounds abstract, but what we're really doing is we're dealing with people with chronic pain who have typically believed that their pain was due to something structural. Something is wrong with their body. And as a result of a careful medical evaluation, I'm able to determine that there is nothing substantially wrong with their body. That's not to say the pain's not real. The pain is real, and the pain is physical. But the ultimate cause and trigger for the pain is emotional rather than mechanical. The pain is real, and it's related, we think, to issues such as blood flow and hyperactivity or overactivity of the autonomic nervous system, the fight and flight response. This all is initiated through nerve pathways that begin in the brain and go through certain old parts of the brain called the limbic system or the hypothalamus. These older parts of the brain are in some way related to our reptilian background and are the roots of some of the drives that we speak of in unconscious terms when we speak of a more psychological approach to the brain rather than a neurological approach to the brain. And by getting a person to focus attention on these psychological issues, to not fear their pain, we find that the pain gets better, and people who've been disabled in some cases for years make dramatic improvements.
People come to us because they've had pain for many, many years, and the standard diagnosis and the standard medical treatments that they've had over these past years haven't gotten rid of the pain. So they see doctor and they go through MRIs and they go through all sorts of investigations, but the pain continues, and they become so frustrated about it that they look for other sources. This is where we came in. People have gone to many, many different hospitals and have had no results. So they become very, very frustrated. And they come into us with almost a lot of times as a last resort because they've tried just about everything. So they see Dr. Schechter and he diagnoses them, and they come in with what we call maybe confusion. There's a medical diagnosis and possibly another diagnosis, and we claim and know from our experience that the diagnosis is psychological, and my objective in dealing with patients is to get them to understand the pain, what's under the pain, and how it's created.
Don, you brought up two very good points. One is the desperation that drives some people to look at their pain in a different way. And the fact that a person has failed other treatments is often one of the reasons that they come and are willing to look at the concept of tension myositis syndrome, or as I also call it, distraction pain syndrome. The treatment revolves around the acceptance of a new diagnosis, and I'd like you to address the idea of what resistance people have to accepting a new diagnosis and how important this is, and the shift of their thought away from the physical aspects of pain and more to the emotional aspects of living their life. Can you address those two issues, the acceptance of the diagnosis and the psychological focus?
The acceptance of the diagnosis is the first step in getting rid of the pain. When we begin to realize that it's not a medical diagnosis, it's a psychological condition that they have. And a lot of us, or myself included, thought that my situation was physical. And I went to doctors, and they told me I should have an operation about it. And finally, I got to understand, I read one of Dr. Sarno's books, and I began to get involved in learning that this is psychological. And to accept the psychological premise is usually a difficulty for all of us because we grow up with the medical model. You go to the doctor and take pills or operations or something else in order to get fixed. Here we do it in a psychological concept, which is relatively very, very new in this world, but we're learning that so many people have chronic pain that has not been treated by standard medication.
Don, we have found over the years that there's some personality characteristics that seem to be more closely associated with people suffering from TMS. And to broadly put them in two categories, you have the perfectionist and you have the people pleaser. The perfectionist is someone who is hard on themselves, very responsible, tries to achieve a lot, ambitious, etc. And the people pleaser is someone who is very concerned with how other people think and feel about them and is very externally focused in terms of getting that self-esteem and that gratification from other people. Can you address some of the personality factors in people that you have treated with TMS and how they learn to modify some of those issues in order to get better?
A lot of times these two conditions go together. Perfectionism and people pleasers. People become very, very perfectionistic in order to please people, to get people to like them. And they go to great extents to have people like them. But the fact that they have go to great extents to people that like them tells us that there's a deep-seated insecurity they have about themselves, the need to be liked. And we delve into the need to be liked, and we do some psychological counseling in their early childhood, how they found out that they had to do things in order to be liked. They couldn't just be liked for who they were. They had to really learn. They had to get good grades in schools. They had to become very, very active in life and doing things. But it's a basic, there's a I don't like to make be specific about it, but there's a basic insecurity of how they feel essentially about themselves.
You know, it's worth commenting that although we're speaking very psychologically, as if we were just talking about psychotherapy, but this is actually a treatment for pain. It's a treatment for pain in people who for many years have been told that their pain was due to a biomechanical or an injury or a scoliosis or a bulging disc. And these are people with headaches, people with back pain, neck pain, people with arm pain or RSI. And the treatment is to shift them from ignoring the psychological to really delving into the psychological. And what you're describing now is the techniques and areas that you have determined as a result of 10 years and literally hundreds of patients with TMS that you have determined to be the important areas in the psychotherapy. Perhaps you could describe how TMS psychotherapy, as you do it, is different from so-called traditional therapy, both in terms of the number of sessions, the focus of the therapy, how you interact in the therapy, etc.
What we call TMS therapy is different from standard psychotherapy. It's goal-oriented. It's dedicated to the specifics of getting rid of the pain. So when I hear a person talking about his life, his primary or his early childhood, I'm thinking and trying to help him to connect to the specific understanding of getting in touch with these feelings in order to get rid of the pain. And the recognition of these feelings and being able to stay with the feelings and understand the feelings. And as the person stays with these feelings and really gets comfortable with many negative feelings, you don't want to feel weak. You don't want to feel insecure. You don't want to feel stupid. You want to feel smart. But you're blocking this deep-seated feeling that you have about yourself. And this deep-seated feeling has been inside of you for quite some time. And it's like a boil that's waiting to come up. And usually an incident in your later life gets the release of this thing, and it comes up in the pain, and the pain becomes chronic. And the pain, people come in and say, I want to get rid of the pain, and I hate the pain. And they become very, very angry at the fact that, because it's a complete distraction from their life. But the pain is also a distraction from understanding who you are. And our objective in talking to the patient and client is to get them to understand this part of themselves and to accept this part of themselves. And I'll just use one general term, to accept, and this is not necessarily everybody, the fact that they feel weak and they try to be strong and they try to be positive. And the more that they try to be positive, they're pushing that back, this internal part of themselves, and the pain comes up. And they find that as they go into this therapy, they'll find that when they're doing something this way and they're not conscious of their feeling, the pain is there. Sometimes the pain is there all the time, and sometimes the pain is there rarely.
Well, that's very well put. And you know, you address that issue of distraction. And one of the diagnoses, or one of the terminologies that I use for TMS is distraction pain syndrome. And the pain for many people serves as a distraction, or you might say a protection from emotions, including unconscious anger, rage, etc., that for many years they haven't been dealing with. So why do I as a physician refer them to psychotherapy, or why do I as a physician as a treatment for chronic pain have them write in a journal what feelings they're having and what they're upset about and how they feel about their job and their wife and their relatives? Because focusing and acknowledging and expressing these feelings that are inside leads over and over again to people getting better. And when people resist looking inside, and when people doubt the diagnosis, it's the part of them that doesn't want to give up this protection or this distraction. And when people are willing to sit down and be open with you, Don, in therapy, as you are open to them about your own history of pain, then they get better. And we see this over and over again. And of course, we're seeing it in some of the research that we're doing in terms of excellent results. And you and I both know from speaking to patients that people improve from this program without medications or shots or surgery.
One of the things that I encourage in doing this thing is to help them to understand that possibly The medication is a surface manifestation of getting rid of the pain, but it doesn't really get you to go underneath it and understand the pain. And this is one of my biases or problems, that sometimes medication prevents people from really getting into the source of the pain. It is very, very scary to get into certain negative feelings. So people don't want to talk about negative feelings. They want to be good. They want to be happy. They want to be successful. But underneath it is that deep-seated insecurity that I cannot be who I am. And when people start to be who they are, they become free and don't try to manipulate the world in order to be taken care of. And it's very, very risky or scary to become honest with the world and to be able to express your feelings and to learn how to express your feelings without getting people to be antagonistic towards you. So expressing of feelings is a personal thing. It's not telling somebody that they're doing something wrong. It's telling people how the interaction is affecting them without really denigrating the other person. And this is a good way to really learn how to just be who you are.
Don, that was very well said. We're going to be wrapping up this podcast in the next minute or so. Do you have any final thoughts on the psychology of TMS that you want to share with us now? Of course, in our next podcast, we're going to delve into some specific examples of patients as well.
My final thoughts, or whatever they are, is that this is something that applies to everybody, and more and more people come in with chronic pain, and it might be something that's happening in our time, in the 2000s. At one time, people didn't walk around with back supports. Now we see people who walk around with back supports. 10 years ago, we never saw back supports. Back supports are an indication of chronic pain.
All right, thank you very much for being with us today and talking about the psychology of chronic pain, TMS, and specifically the kind of therapy that you provide with patients.
Thanks, Dr. Schechter and Don Dubin, for this very practical and informative discussion of pain, TMS, and psychology. Also thanks to you, our listeners. You can give us feedback on this program by visiting www.smi-mindbodyresearch.org and emailing myself or Dr. Schechter. Dr. Schechter's website on TMS is www.mindbodymedicine.com. Thanks for listening. This is Dr. Art Smith for the Seligman Medical Institute.